Okay, so let's unpack this. You know that feeling, right? That kind of deep intuition, maybe, when you sense your life's compass might be pointed just a few degrees off course. Want to make a change, maybe a big one, redefine your purpose, perhaps, but actually figuring out where to start or even what needs adjusting. Well, that can feel pretty overwhelming. So today, we're diving into a framework that offers a really powerful way to navigate that feeling. It's a deliberate, intentional way to shift your life's trajectory. We're calling this deep dive personal recalibration. It's really all about stepping back, gaining that broader view of your life's path, and then making these precise, targeted adjustments. We've pulled some, frankly, incredible insights from excerpts from The Art of Personal Recalibration to guide us. And trust me, this isn't just theory. It feels very actionable.
Absolutely. And our mission today really is to go beyond the surface. We want to extract genuinely actionable insights from this work. We want to show you how to spot those subtle, often recurring patterns in your life, the ones that might be holding you back, maybe, or just guiding you down a path that's, well, less fulfilling than it could be. And then, crucially, how to reshape them. It's not just about the what to do, but understanding the deeper why it matters for your own personal growth. So if you've ever felt stuck, maybe stuck in a loop, or perhaps you're just intensely curious about how to make your next chapter feel more authentic, more aligned, this deep dive is definitely for you. We're going to explore how you can sort of transcend those limiting perspectives and really see possibilities that maybe right now you don't even realize are there.
Yeah, what I found particularly insightful, like right from the get-go, is how personal recalibration is framed in the source. It's described as stepping back from your day-to-day experience to gain a broader view of your life's trajectory. I immediately picture something like a drone camera pulling way up high above your life, suddenly revealing the whole landscape instead of just the path right under your feet. It's about pulling yourself out of the weeds, out of the automatic responses and the immediate demands, to actually survey the whole terrain of where you're headed. It's quite a profound shift in perspective, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating, what the author really emphasizes, is the prerequisite for that shift to actually take hold. This whole process of recalibration, of seeing your life from that higher perspective, it only becomes genuinely possible when you've identified your recurring patterns. That's the key. It's not about waiting for life to just hand you a new direction. No, it's about actively understanding how you're currently operating your habits, your thought processes, your reactions, and then proactively positioning yourself for growth. It's an intentional process designed for deliberate, conscious change, not just accidental shifts or reacting to things. Without that initial self-awareness, you're basically trying to adjust your course without even knowing your current coordinates.
Right. So it's not just passively hoping things will change, but actively designing the change. That makes sense.
Okay.
And the good news is, this work doesn't just leave us with abstract ideas. It actually lays out, a brilliant, actionable roadmap to navigate this recalibration. It breaks it down into four distinct steps, still interconnected, but distinct, kind of like a four-stage rocket for personal growth. Maybe. Let's launch with the first step, which is assess. Okay, assess. It sounds straightforward, but I suspect it's often the hardest part. It's that critical first step of honestly evaluating which patterns in your life genuinely serve your growth and which ones are maybe subtly limiting your potential. It really calls for a moment of genuine, maybe sometimes uncomfortable self-reflection. Like when you think about your daily routines, your default reactions, those ingrained ways of thinking, which ones feel like they're truly propelling you forward, and which ones consistently feel like anchors holding you back from where you really want to be.
And that raises a really important question. How do we actually assess these patterns effectively, without just getting lost in our own internal narratives? The source gives us a crucial hint here. It's not just about introspection, although that's certainly part of it. It advises us to look for themes and feedback you've received throughout your life. That's interesting. So it means actively incorporating external perspectives. Think about recurring comments you might have heard from mentors or trusted friends, family, maybe even colleagues. Maybe you've consistently been told you're too hard on yourself, perhaps, or that you tend to overcommit. These aren't just criticisms, they're data points, valuable data points. They add this layer of objective reality beyond what you might perceive on your own. They help you see the patterns you might be blind to. Now, it definitely takes courage to seek out and truly hear that feedback, but it's invaluable for a truly holistic self-assessment.
That's such a great point about bringing in outside feedback. Adds so much depth, even when it's, well, tough to hear sometimes. Okay, so once you've gone through that courageous assessment and you've identified a pattern that isn't serving you, maybe it's a tendency to procrastinate or maybe a quickness to jump to conclusions. What's the next strategic move? This brings us to the second pillar. Interrupt. The source advises creating conscious pattern interrupts right when you notice yourself falling into those familiar but unhelpful behaviors. What does that actually look like, though, in the real world?
Well, think of a pattern interrupt as just a small, intentional break in your usual automatic reaction. It's simple, but powerful. It's about creating a momentary space, like a little fork in the road, where you can consciously choose a different path. For example, if you always say, reach for your phone first thing in the morning and immediately get sucked into social media, a pattern interrupt might be placing your phone across the room the night before. Or maybe intentionally picking up a book instead, just for 5 minutes. Or if you tend to get defensive in certain types of conversations, it could be something as simple as taking one deep breath before you respond, or even physically stepping away for a minute to collect your thoughts. The key is just creating that pause, that tiny interruption, however brief it might seem.
Right, even a momentary pause can make all the difference, can't it? It seems almost too simple. But the source suggests there's some deeper science at play here.
Oh, absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the source reveals that even that momentary pause can create space for new choices. That's the opening. And this is where the deeper science comes in, which is fascinating. It says, each time you make a different choice in a familiar situation, you're literally rewiring neural pathways and creating the foundation for lasting change. Think of your brain like a forest, right? With these well-worn paths, those are the habits you've practiced over and over again. When you introduce a pattern interrupt and make a different choice, you're essentially taking a step off that familiar path, even just a small step. But the more you do it, the more you start to forge a new, maybe faint, trail. And over time, that new trail becomes a clear path, and the old, unwanted one starts to fade from disuse. It's a real powerful shift happening at a neurological level. It shows these small interrupts aren't just mental tricks. They're physically reshaping your brain, building a new foundation for the person you want to become.
Wow, that's incredible. That something as seemingly simple as a pause can actually rewire our brains. That's huge. But you know, in the messy reality of our daily lives, when we're stressed or busy, how do we actually remember to implement that interrupt? Do you have a trick for making it stick?
Ah, that's a brilliant question, because just intending to do it often isn't enough, is it? One highly effective trick the author kind of alludes to is leveraging environmental cues, setting things up to help yourself. For instance, if you want to interrupt a habit of mindless snacking after dinner, maybe put a big glass of water right next to the snack cupboard. That visual cue, the moment your hand reaches, it prompts the interrupt. Oh, right, water first. Or if you tend to get overwhelmed by email, constantly pinging, maybe schedule specific email check times and actually close the tab otherwise. The key is to make the interrupt a physical or scheduled action, not just a vague mental note you'll forget. You're consciously building a new if-then scenario for your brain. If I reach for the phone, then I pick up the book first. It's about building a new mini habit around the interruption itself.
That's so practical. It's about designing your environment to support your intentions. I like that. But what about those really deeply ingrained patterns, the ones that feel almost impossible to shift with just an interrupt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that feel like they're so much a part of who we are, maybe who we think we are, that they feel like, I don't know, like a part of us. This brings us to the third pillar, eliminate. So you've assessed your patterns, you tried interrupting them. But some beliefs, some habits, maybe even some relationships might need a more permanent solution. This step is about identifying those elements that consistently reinforce the limiting patterns, the long-term consistent factors that keep pulling you back. It sounds like this could be the most challenging step by far.
Oh, it absolutely is, often, because the source really highlights that this process takes courage, as it often means challenging long-held beliefs about yourself and your capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Eliminating something often means letting go of a part of your identity, maybe, or severing ties that, while unhelpful, might feel comfortable or familiar. It's tough. It could be eliminating a belief like, oh, I'm just not good enough to pursue that dream, or a habit like constantly comparing yourself to others online, or maybe even a relationship that consistently drains your energy and reinforces negative thought patterns. We all know those. This step encourages you to consciously consider what needs to be released to make room for growth. It's a fundamental act of making space for your desired future. It's about decluttering your life, really, of what no longer serves you, to create fertile ground for new development. It's not just about taking something away, but about the profound act of choosing what you'll make space for by doing so. That's the positive side.
That really reminds me of that feeling when you finally declutter a closet you've been avoiding. You didn't realize how much dead weight you were carrying until it's actually gone. What's one common deadweight you've seen people really struggle to let go of in this eliminate phase?
That's a perfect analogy. Yeah. Often, I think the hardest deadweight to eliminate is exactly that, a limiting belief about one's own capabilities.
Yeah.
We internalize these narratives sometimes from way back. I'm not creative. I'm just bad with money. I'm not really leadership material. And they become these invisible walls around us. And these beliefs aren't just passive thoughts sitting there. They actively reinforce patterns of inaction or even self-sabotage. So eliminating them means not just challenging the belief intellectually, like saying, oh, that's not true. No, it means actively seeking evidence against it and practicing new behaviors that directly contradict it, which can feel profoundly unsettling at first. It really can. It's truly about excavating and discarding those internal narratives that no longer serve who you want to become. It's deep work.
Deep work, for sure. And after clearing the deck, after making that courageous decision to eliminate what holds you back, it's finally time to build right. This brings us to the fourth and final step, replace. So this step is about developing new practices, new perspectives that align with the next chapter you want to create. It's about proactive creation, actively designing the habits and the mindsets that will support your growth, rather than just reacting to whatever's in front of you. How do we ensure these new replacements actually stick?
Yeah, this is where the intentionality we talked about really pays off. The source wisely points out that small, consistent actions build powerful new patterns over time. That's the mantra. This isn't about some overnight personality transplant or trying to become someone entirely different by next Tuesday. Forget that. It's all about the compounding effect of deliberate choices, much like compound interest in finance, you know? Small inputs, big results over time. So if you've eliminated a habit of reacting defensively in meetings, for example, your replacement might be a new habit of active listening, really listening, and practicing that in every conversation, no matter how small it seems. If you eliminated a belief that you're not creative, your replacement might be dedicating just 15 minutes each day to some creative pursuit, writing, drawing, brainstorming, whatever, however minor it seems initially. By doing this consistently, you ensure that external shifts have lasting impact because they're anchored in genuine internal transformation. That's the key phrase. You're building from the inside out, making sure the new structures are stable and authentic because they're aligned with your deepest values and your desired future.
So it's not about these huge, unsustainable leaps, but those consistent tiny nudges in the right direction, day after day. It makes the whole process feel much more achievable, doesn't it? Less daunting.
Exactly. It demystifies change, makes it less about sheer willpower, which often fails us, and more about consistent strategic action. I like the analogy of a river carving a canyon. It's not one massive flood that does it, usually. It's the constant, relentless flow of water over immense time that creates something monumental. Your daily small actions are like that consistent flow, slowly but surely shaping the landscape of your life.
Okay, so we've journeyed through assess, interrupt, eliminate, and replace. Four powerful steps. What does this all mean for you listening right now as you look to your own journey of growth and change? The source really drives home a few key principles about the spirit, maybe the underlying philosophy, behind this entire recalibration process. It's not just about the steps, it's about the mindset you bring to it.
Precisely. First, and maybe most importantly, the core message is crystal clear. Recalibration isn't about perfection, it's about progress. This is such a vital reminder because change is rarely, if ever, linear. There will be stumbles, there will be moments of regression, times you feel stuck again. That's normal. The goal isn't to flawlessly execute every step like a robot. It's to consistently return to the process, learn from those setbacks, and just keep moving forward, even slowly. It reinforces that this is a continuous journey, you know? Not some destination you arrive at and then, boom, you're done. There's always more to learn, always more to adapt. And secondly, really hold on to this. Remember that you're next chapter truly has the potential to be more fulfilling and authentic than any previous one. That's exciting. By approaching change from the inside out, as we've been discussing, understanding your patterns, literally rewiring your brain, shedding old beliefs, building new ones you truly anchor lasting impact, you're not just putting a fresh coat of paint on the house. You're fundamentally renovating the structure from within. And ultimately, the real power of recalibration, I think, lies in its ability to help you see possibilities that were always there. They were just invisible before because of those limiting perspectives we hold on to. This is where those genuine aha moments truly happen, where new paths suddenly emerge, not because the external world magically changed, but because you've shifted your internal lens, how you see. It's about unlocking your own potential by changing how you perceive that potential in the first place.
Wow. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? Just letting that sink in. The essence of this whole deep dive, and really what the source concludes with, is this profound, really concise insight. When you shift how you see, what you see changes. Simple, but huge. It's basically an invitation to transform your reality by transforming your perspective first. So we've taken a really deep dive today into the art of personal recalibration, a powerful framework to help you intentionally reshape your life, unlock new possibilities. We've explored those four crucial steps, starting with honestly assessing your recurring patterns, then strategically interrupting unhelpful behaviors, courageously eliminating what truly holds you back, and finally, proactively replacing those old ways with new growth-aligned practices.
So as you reflect on everything we've discussed today, maybe consider this question. What is just one limiting perspective you currently hold about yourself or your capabilities? Just one. That if you really challenged it, if you shifted it, could instantly reveal the new, maybe more fulfilling possibility for your next chapter, something you haven't even considered yet. We really encourage you to reflect on just one small pattern you might assess, interrupt, eliminate, or replace this week. Even just thinking about it is a start. Start small, be consistent, and just watch how those tiny shifts can begin to transform your entire landscape over time.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring and keep recalibrating.